is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. This is most certainly true. Jesus is alive, and death is dead. His tomb is empty, and our hearts are full. His promises are fulfilled. The victory has been won. Easter brings fullness and life and joy and meaning and hope into our lives, and brings them in fullest measure. Our songs of Alleluia will never end. Join us to worship our risen Lord with this Easter sermon recently delivered at Grace.
The Gospel from John chapter 10. Jesus shares the important statement, "I am the Good Shepherd." This will serve as the basis for today's sermon. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord. Tony Stark, also known as Iron Man from Marvel's Avengers, a World War II soldier named John Robert Fox, Captain Miller, character played by Tom Hanks in the movie Saving Private Ryan, three workers at the Chernobyl nuclear power plant, and Harry Stamper, a character played by Bruce Willis in the 90s blockbuster movie Armageddon. Do you have any idea what all of those people that I just listed have in common? Whether it was in the drama of a movie or in real life history, all of those people selflessly sacrificed their lives for the safety of others. Tony Stark used the Infinity Stones to defeat the evil villain Thanos and save the universe, but the strain for which it took to use those stones put him to death. Lieutenant Fox called in a barrage of firepower upon the small town in Italy that he was entrapped in because it was infested with German Nazis. And even though it meant the loss of his life, it allowed the U.S. Army to regroup and to counterattack and to win a major victory in that theater. The Chernobyl disaster could have been, I don't know, maybe 100 times worse if those three workers didn't selflessly give their lives in order to stop a further meltdown of the entire power plant. Captain Miller led a whole group of soldiers behind enemy lines to safely bring back one paratrooper whose other three brothers had all died in the war. They all sacrificed their lives for that one. And Stamper willingly gave himself up as he stood behind on this meteor, hurling right directly to Earth so he could detonate a bomb to blow it up and to save our planet. Now, you could add in whatever other heroic stories you have encountered in your movie viewing and your reading of history, but I think you get the point, don't you? There are people who give up their lives selflessly, sacrificing them for the safety of other people. You know, this is one of the major ideas that has been a constant in the movie industry, this idea of self-sacrifice. It brings in millions to the box office. But have you ever wondered why? Think us as people laud heroes who are selfless like that. But I speculate if there isn't something deeper within each and every one of us that just gives us this sense or this feeling that there is something that we need to be rescued from. And so we long for safety and security. We need a hero. We need a sacrifice. Today's gospel from the book of John sets up one of my favorite themes of the church year. It describes Jesus as the good shepherd. This whole picture of Jesus being the good shepherd portrays the care and the providence and the protection and the constant presence that Jesus offers up to his flock, to you and me as his sheep. And all of those qualities surround this one phrase that is repeated three times in this portion of Scripture. This is what it says. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I lay down my life, Jesus said. A selfless sacrifice. This morning we'll look at those times where he uses that phrase to lay down his life to see how you are safe in the selfless sacrifice of the Savior Shepherd. But first you have to understand the implications of what it means to be called a bunch of sheep. Now there are much more pleasant and enjoyable things that I would love to label you as and call you this morning, but the Bible calls you a bunch of sheep, so I'm going to roll with that. But you've got to understand sheep. Sheep are largely docile, harmless, and kind of dull and dumb animals. Let me give you an example. When there is a great storm, sheep will tend to crowd themselves into a corner of the pen, so much so that they pile on top of each other, trampling one another. And if a sheep ends up on its backside, that sheep can't get uprighted on its own very easily. And when a predator attacks, sheep don't have fangs or claws to defend themselves, and they're not the fastest animals in the world to escape. Do any of those examples sound like why you might be considered a sheep? How about those times when you follow the ways of the world and find yourself getting hurt, your faith crushed and trampled? The times in life where you have fallen on your back and you don't know how to get back up and to make things right? Or how defenseless do you feel when Satan throws temptations and attacks against your faith at you? And add to all that while you are all highly intelligent people, I get this because I'm the same way, we don't always comprehend what it means to be in a right relationship with God, and we make a lot of foolish decisions in our life. We're a bunch of sheep. We need a shepherd. And then Jesus steps in. I am the good shepherd. But understand what Jesus means here with the word good. Understand the sense of it, because this is much more than just saying this cup of coffee I had this morning was good, or my meal was good, or the weather outside is good. That kind of has the idea that while it's good, it's nice, it's okay, but it's not the best. Now, when God uses this word good in Scripture, it has this sense of being excellent, of beautiful, of great. And so when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he is saying that he is the best kind of shepherd that you could have. One who is excellent in all of his qualities and characteristics. One who is excellent in all the work that he does. And Jesus goes on to then compare him as this good shepherd with the other kind of shepherds that you find leading you in your life. He says that they're just a bunch of hired hands. And a hired hand doesn't own the sheep. And so when real serious trouble comes along, like a wolf attack, the hired hand is gone. He doesn't get paid well enough or care or have enough interest to stay behind and give his life to defend the sheep. So who are the hired hands in your life that you find yourself following? Who are the ones that you're following and end up failing you and fleeing? Might it be things like a doctor? Maybe your government? Is it your friends? Your own family members? Your spiritual leaders, even? A pastor? When others fail you, when they all flee, there is one who is truly vested in you, who will not leave you, who will not fail you. And that one is your Lord Jesus, the good shepherd who lays down his life for you. He laid down his life that he could take on the greatest and most ferocious attack you will ever face, Satan. In fact, the Bible calls him a roaring lion who is looking to devour you. And Jesus laid himself down in front of Satan, taking all of the worst that he had, all of his accusations aimed at you, all of the chains that he wanted to drag you down with of death. And Jesus took it so that you could be set free and to rest securely in the arms of your loving shepherd. Jesus laid down his life for you because he is the good shepherd. But there's another stunning reason why Jesus laid down his life for you. Listen to what he said. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus knows you. He knows you. You know, a shepherd knows his sheep really well because he spends night and day with them. And I don't know how many sheep a shepherd tends to have in his herd. It probably depends on the circumstances. If it's 100 sheep, I could imagine he gets to know them really pretty well. But if it's like 1,000 or more sheep, it might be pretty challenging to get them to know them all and to know them well, if not impossible. Jesus knows every single one of his sheep. I have to imagine that is billions of sheep, of people. And maybe that makes you wonder, could Jesus really know me all that well? Listen to the promises that he gives to us today. And remember who is the one speaking these promises. Your Lord and Savior Jesus. He said that he knows you with the same kind of intimacy that he knows his Father and that his Father knows him. That's the kind of relationship Jesus wants to have with you, that tight. The Lord moved King David to write this in Psalm 139. For you, Lord, created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. This Lord Jesus created you, formed you. He knows who you are. And he knows all the days that are set before you. And then Jesus said this in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6. Your Father knows what you need before you even ask it. So Jesus not only knows you, but he knows what you go through in this life because he experienced it too. We're told that in Hebrews chapter 4. For we do not have a high priest in Christ Jesus who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet did not sin. Jesus, your good shepherd, knows you. He knows you with all of your weaknesses and all of your tendencies. He knows that you cannot rescue yourself from your sin and that you cannot stand before the holy Lord God all on your own. He knows that you can be prideful and arrogant, harsh and rude, self-centered and ignorant. You can be lustful and greedy and discontent and all the other things that separate you, not just from one another, but from God. And Jesus knew that the only way to rescue you was to give his life, laying it down to pay the price for all of your sins. Jesus, as your good shepherd, laid down his life for you because he knows you and he loves you. In the movie Saving Private Ryan, Captain Miller and the other soldiers who were on that mission all gave their lives up to rescue one soldier. One. And while Tony Stark may have saved the universe by getting rid of Thanos, if you follow any of the storylines in the Marvel Cinematic Universe after that, you realize more villains continue to pop up, and Iron Man's not there anymore to save the day. And when Stemper stayed behind and blew up that meteor, great, but what about when the next meteor comes hurling towards Earth? Or when a shepherd lays down his life for his sheep and is killed defending them against a wolf, who's going to protect the sheep the next time the predator comes along? You see, my point is, when a human gives a life, sacrificing it for others, that's it. They're dead. Then it's done. But not so with our good shepherd. I laid down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. Your good shepherd laid down his life in order to pay for all of your sins and to set you free from them. In order to overcome the influence of Satan in your life, and to destroy the chains of death and its power. But tell me, what good would it be if that shepherd who promised eternal life was still dead in the grave? It would be pretty hopeless, wouldn't it? But that's not the case for us. The good shepherd lives. He's risen from the dead. And he's risen to prove to you and to assure you that your sins are completely paid for. He has won the victory, and he gives to you the promise of eternal life as he seeks you out as lost sheep to draw you in through his word to be his very own. Jesus, your good shepherd, died, but he rose to give you life. So that means Jesus is the one who can really truly be with you always, who can care for you today and forever, who can never be overcome by anything, and neither can you. For you are safe in the selfless sacrifice of our Savior Shepherd. And when I say safe, I mean that your sins are completely forgiven, that the wrath and anger of God has been satisfied in Jesus, that you are saved, that you have eternal life, and you have his Spirit working within you now and forever. So what does this all mean for you and me? My friends, the reality is that you have a lot of different things that you can follow in this life, a lot of different things that you can let lead you. And there are going to be a lot of troubles that are going to overwhelm you. But there is one. There is one in Jesus Christ who can truly be with you always, who has rescued you from the death that your sins deserve and leads you to eternal life. There is only one who can truly give you the right perspective that you need in this life and for the life to come. And there is only one who can truly protect you against the real enemies of your life, your sin and Satan and death. And that one is Jesus Christ. And as your good shepherd, he selflessly sacrificed his life. So follow the good shepherd. Follow Jesus. as he leads you to eternal life and find rest in his loving, powerful arms.
Thanks for listening. To learn more about God's grace or to support the work that we do to proclaim the love of Jesus in Milwaukee and around the world, visit www.gracedowntown.org. This grace is for you.
The Lord bless you, keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.